Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallantine. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti. Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens, Crappens,
Crappens, Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch for Crappens, a podcast about all the crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. There's a new episode up now on YouTube. Go check it out. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and supremely talented Ronnie Karam, who's also a co-host of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Hobby.
Woo, woo, woo. That did not match your song, but I felt like it was a mashup. It was like we're at the club. So,
harmony, baby, harmony.
You guys, well, there's a lot to. We've got a lot of housekeeping at the top of the show. I know, like, we want to get into. We're going to talk about Southern Charm New Orleans today, actually, and a check in with Potomac at the end. How about that? But before we dive into it, we have some stuff that we really hope you listen to here because we have announcements. First and foremost, we are going back to Chicago. We teased that about a week ago. It is officially happening. The presale is going to start on Wednesday. Follow the link on our website, watchercrappens.com, for the presale. It's on Patreon. We're going to City Winery, so we're really excited for that. Tickets go on sale to the public this Friday. By the way, and tomorrow we're announcing, I think, three or four other cities that we're going to. So, like, stay tuned to all our social media, etc. about that. We're really, really excited. Love Chicago. Also, we put a Philadelphia show on sale recently. It's down to like 41 tickets. Very specific number, 41 tickets. So if you want to come see us in Philadelphia, get your tickets now because they are running out. New York City is also, the second show is also extremely low. So Philly, New York City, definitely jump on those while you can. And of course, don't forget, in July, we're going to Cleveland and Baltimore. We're also going to Pittsburgh, but that's sold out. Thank you, Pittsburgh. September, we're going to Nashville. We're going to Charlotte also for the Queen City Comedy Experience. So that'll be amazing. I'm so excited to go to Charlotte for the first time and to go back to Nashville. November, we're going to Indianapolis and, of course, Chicago, as I just mentioned. December, we have St. Louis and we have Seattle. So a lot of shows, a lot of places across the country. Come see us. We have a great time when we do the shows, and we think you will too. Additionally, you know, we've been talking about Crappens on Demand, which you can access on Patreon. It's so fun. We've got a bunch of videos up there. It's really great to be able to do that. We have now introduced yet another Patreon reward tier. There's something called Discord, which is a platform where you can just chat with people. You know, like, we have a Facebook group that's very active, and that Facebook is for Facebook stuff, and Discord is great because it's just like a giant chat room, like the old days on AOL. So if you want to join the Discord community that we're building, that's on Patreon. So go check that out. It's really fun. Some people are already in it. I've already been dabbling in there, chatting, and we've been talking about things like the Great British Bake Off, but also Bravo. So it's already very, very fun. So go check that out. I think that's it, Ronnie, right? Unless you want to talk about merchandise.
That is it. Just go get your shirts. There's a couple weeks left to get your Dorinda and Martini Madison and Team LVP shirts.
Thank you guys for listening through all those announcements. It means a lot when you listen, but meaning like this, we want to make sure that people know all the cool stuff that's happening. So thanks.
Oh my god,
there's
so many shows. Smala.
It is
so
crazy.
Glad to be doing so
it is
many.
Crazy.
We're gonna have a crazy year coming up.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, with that being said, now that we got all the housekeeping out of the way, let's talk some Southern Charm New Orleans.
Yeah, so we decided this week we're going to do a full-on New Orleans recap because it has been really good, especially last week. Wow, last week was fantastic television, people. So if you're not watching it, watch it. And Potomac is still good, but we always give them a full one. So we're just going to shove them to the end this week because it was kind of sad. It was like miscarriage talk and then Karen's dad dead. You know, dying dad talk, and so it was a lot of sad things I don't want to make fun of.
Candace barely even blotted her eyes. I mean, like, this was a very tragic episode. But either way, you know, with
I laughed a cough into your face. Sorry,
I felt it. You know, the thing is with Southern Charm New Orleans, I think what it has going for it that maybe Southern Charm Savannah didn't is that it does match the vibe of the original Southern Charm, which is that in many ways, Southern Charm and Southern Charm New Orleans are kind of about watching a large group of friends who know each other, and there's drama and there's like moments of drama, but by and large, it's more just about like just seeing how these people interact, and it works.
Well, it's working for me because there's more like fun drama, you know. Yeah. Like Reagan's thing is so funny to me. I love that she's trying to play it off like, oh, it's no big deal, totally normal. You know, bounce from one to the other, back to the other, back to the other one again, back to the other. Now I'm pregnant and getting married. Yay!
Yeah. So the episode opens up at Reagan's house. Tamika and Rachel show up at Reagan's house, and they each, as they approach the front stoop, they get like a gratuitous slow-mo shot. And then especially Rachel, there was like a close-up of her butt going up the stairs. I was like, I don't understand why we had to stylize this entrance, but okay, I'll take it.
The show does some weird slow-mo stuff. And Tamika, I can understand because it's like a horror show is coming into your house.
It's like the Night King.
Yeah, she's terrifying. But Tamika comes in slow motion while Reagan makes an amazing dinner. Reagan can definitely cook. Okay?
She's not
one of those people on TV. He's like, I really love to cook. I mean, she even like mixologizes her drinks for everybody. She's like, here's a sprig of rosemary.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that too. Like, you know, it was just like an iced tea. She's like, well, I took some Lipton iced tea and then I just put some rosemary in it. And this ice cube I actually made in a artisanal ice cube maker. You'll notice that it's geometrically symmetric.
And Tamika, who is so, oh my god, I'm your best friend, I can't believe you didn't tell me this when I'm your best friend. Like, she talks kind of like she's drunk, but I think she got the wrong size veneers put in because she's kind of like, I think she's trying to like make it work around her mouth or something. Like, she's trying to always make it
work. She hasn't
her
quite
mouth work.
Gotten used to the new spatial dynamics of her mouth.
So she is always saying, you know, we're supposed to be best friends. You didn't tell me this. We're supposed to be best friends. I mean, I can't believe you didn't tell me this. We're best friends. She comes into her house and she says, oh my god, I haven't been here. It's beautiful. Like, I haven't been here. I haven't even been here. Wow. This is like totally beautiful. Like,
yeah, we're supposed to be best friends. Yeah, we're supposed to be best friends. And this is like the first time I've seen your house, like your real house, not your like study shack / like affair domain. So then
your stabbing cabin.
Stabbing cabin.
So, it's not a cabin.
So so basically it's like the day after the big like store opening in the mall that Reagan had, and she's like, oh my god, that was like a 9-month process getting ready for the show. And Tamika's like, yeah, I feel you. It's like you birthed two babies last night. It's like you had a baby. It's almost like we were a bunch of sperm coming into your egg of a shop, right?
Baby, like seriously, like were you feeling hurt last night? It's hard not to slip into Bethany because she does kind of have that. Like,
I feel like I'm on like the Paige DeSorbo Bethany spectrum. I feel like it's, you know, it's like Reagan's
such an asshole. Like, she walks into the house and she's like, oh my god, like you definitely have a type of house because like this is like exactly the same as your other house. Like, it's exactly the same. It's like, shut up, Tamika. Can you be nice for 2 seconds? And this is Tamika's big season where she's like, oh, I'm a totally different person now. Like, I'm totally changed. I'm like, you are not. You're horrible. You're just as horrible as before.
Yeah. And like, is it really Reagan's fault that there was a sale on Wayfair? No.
So she tells us, I mean,
I didn't know what's happening. I didn't know what's happening. It's like totally obvious what's happening. And then we get a montage of Reagan being like, no, I'm not drinking today, Jeff. No, thank you. I'm not going to drink today. No, no, I don't want to drink today. I'm fine,
no,
Jeff.
I don't want to drink today. My uterus is feeling full. I mean... So, then Reagan is like, you know, cause she's always cooking. She puts out a lovely spread, much better than Jeff's weird cheese spread he put out the first episode. It was like cheese on a, like a tiny, like saucer with like a berry next to it. Still better than Jennifer's at the axe throwing night. Still better. Anyway, I will never let her let that down. So Reagan takes out, she bakes some brie and she takes out the brie on this like sheet pan. That's like a metal sheet pan, obviously. And she puts it down on the counter. She's like, okay, now this is very hot, so don't touch it. And then Tamika just goes and touches it. She's like, ow! Ma'am, you are an anchor woman. You should not be doing things like that. You have to be a voice of authority in some way.
I mean, I can't believe that. Like, you're supposed to be my best friend. Like, that totally burned me. She's like, I said not to touch it. She's like, oh my god. You're doing the most with your plate, just like Kelsey did the most last night. I mean, like... Whatever. She liked us the most. And Rachel's like, why do you hate her? I'm trying to think how Rachel talks.
Rachel definitely does not talk like that, though.
She has like a thick New Orleans accent, but I can't
New Orleans accents are like, New Orleans accents are so hard because in a weird way, they almost sound New Yorkish, but they are Southern. So there's like a weird, like, it's like always Southern until there's like a weird, like... Hawaii. I don't know. I always think of Rennie from Big Brother because she's like, I'm Rennie. How are you? Like a weird. She talks like this a little bit, but she's Southern, so she talks like I can't. Like I need to just like immerse my. I have to go down to New Orleans and immerse myself in the accents.
Yeah,
and then I can do a semi shitty accent as opposed to a fully shitty accent.
Yeah, well, I'm full on shitty accent. So she's like, duh. She said, don't touch it. So Tamika's like, yeah, you're doing the mess with your plate. Like anything, she's using this baked brie being beautiful to talk shit about Kelsey. Like, that's what kind of person Tamika
is. But Kelsey is sort of like the baked brie of the cast, you know?
Delicious cheese, perfectly, beautifully wrapped.
Like, it's like, Kelsey is like, she seems very, like, lovely and normal. She's probably the one, like, she seems like a great person, right? And yet, there's something about her that everyone is like, she's great, but I can't have too much of her.
Everyone, only Tamika's saying that. Everyone else is like, she's nice. Don't be brainwashed by Tamika. Tamika's evil. She's that housewife that's like, I don't like her. I don't like her. I don't like her. I don't like her. Until everybody else is like, I don't like them either. They, like, get a pack mentality.
I know.
But so far, yeah, it's just Tamika trying to, like, get Kelsey kicked out of this cast, you know?
No, Kelsey's so lovely.
She says the most. Like, I mean, she says the most. And so they showed what they're talking about when she was joking with Reese. They said, well, who's your biggest competitor, Reagan? And Kelsey was like, Jeff Charleston. Which I thought was funny. You know, I thought that was like an innocent little thing.
No, Tamika's mad because it was a line that Tamika probably wanted to say. And she's like, damn it, Kelsey had a good line. I don't like this. I feel threatened right now.
Yeah, she's always hated this girl. So she's like, I mean, you missed everything. So, like, that's what it is. Like, you missed everything. I mean, because you were birthing. You know, birthing a store. So, you know what? Everything's fine. Like, you just did this. You need a shirt that's like, everything's fine. Everything's fine because that's you. You're like, everything's fine. Everything's going great.
Like, just because... Yeah, just because you, like, open up a store and you're like, oh, great, now I'm in the clear and everything, like, I'm feeling blue and it was so easy. It's like a clear blue easy moment, you know? Like, everything's fine. That's what you are.
But everything is good now. I have a store. I have a new man. I'm about to give brie to you. I'm about to give you more brie.
She's like, like, look, there's more than outside the t-shirt. Everything is fine, okay? What is that, your new store? Everything's fine? You can have a t-shirt store called Everything is Fine?
Everything is fine, though. It really is. Nothing could possibly be wrong right now, except for the fact that you just touched that hot pan and now your fingerprint is emblazoned onto the pan for the rest of its life.
Well, everything's not fine, okay? Everything's not fine, okay? Everything's not. She's like, why are you so insistent that everything's not fine? She goes, you know what? You're not the master of everything's fine, okay?
And then Reagan's like,
you know what, I just don't want to talk about this anymore, and like Tamika wants to tear this to shreds, and like when I'm just like trying to start over, also I'm pregnant, so you know.
Yeah, you want to drag me into a pit of disaster, and I'm not in that place, Jeff.
And then Reagan's like, I want you to stop harassing me about it. And Tamika's like, harassing you? I'm harassing you? I'm like, yes, did you not hear the last like 15 minutes of the show where you're like, you're always saying everything's fine, everything's not fine, everything's not fine.
even arguing with harassing. She's like, I'm harassing you. I'm harassing you. I'm harassing you. Am I harassing you? I'm harassing you. Seriously, I'm harassing you. She's like, oh my God, you won't stop. She goes, oh, and that's harassment? Oh, that's charged, Reagan. Yeah. That's charged.
And Reagan's like, you know what, Tamika? When I come to you and ask for advice, then give me advice. And Tamika goes, but you haven't asked for advice. I'm like, yeah, that's what she just said. That's she and said Rachel, she will come to you. That's why.
Rachel, who's the only one who's really eating. And I love that about Rachel. She's always like, this is fucking delicious and I'm eating it, you know? She's like, I think what she means is, as friends, we didn't see you grieve. And she's like,
but I did grieve.
And she goes, no, you didn't, because I'm your best friend. I didn't see you grieve. So, you know, I would have seen you grieve because you're my best friend. And when did you move here anyway?
I grieved very privately, and the form of my grief was having a baby party where we listen to Amy Grant on repeat for an hour.
And so Reagan won't fight with her, and she's like, oh my God, she hates me right now. Like, you know what? I'll take that, Reagan, every day over the, I don't know what I'm dealing with, Reagan, okay?
Yeah.
You're such a fucking asshole woman. Like, just shut up.
I know. And by the way, for the record, I would totally go to a baby party. I just realized. I was like, no, that sounds like a fun time. Listening to Amy Grant for an hour. So now we have...
Baby.
No second man, oh you. How do I not know the second lyric of that? I still remember when Amy Grant sang that on the Grammys, and she brought her baby out. She, like, sang it with her baby in her arms. I was like, that's a little on the nose, Amy Grant.
Yeah, it totally is. I'll never forget when my parents saw Amy Grant and her new husband. Well, he's Vince not new Gill. Anymore. Yeah, they saw him at some, like, Colorado. They were at some... in some, like, ski resort in Colorado, and they saw them in the elevator. And I was like, that's so awesome, Mom! You know, because I was a teenager. And I was like, that's amazing. We love Amy Grant. She's like, not anymore. She turned out to be a total fake because she left her husband for Vince Gill.
That's right. I remember listening to the Heart in Motion tape, and I remember I was like, God, I loved it so much. But I remember, like, the very last song of, because it's like her mainstream album, but the very last song is like, here's some Jesus stuff. And I was like, oh my God, it's Christian rock. I like didn't know what to do with myself because I'm Jewish. And I was like, I felt like I was being non-Jewish by listening to like a very Christian song about Jesus. I like was like, yeah. What do I do? Where do I put my hands? I don't know what to.
What do I believe?
Yeah, but I got over it. And I listened to that cassette a million more times for the next several years.
Well, that's good, because Amy Grant, to Christians back then, it was like, now she's the Antichrist, you know? She did a mainstream album and went with Vince Gill, and they were like, Antichrist, Four Horsemen. Hey, why don't you name your new album The Four Horsemen, slut?
Okay, anyway,
so now let's go see some guys.
Wait, I felt like I heard you say something, but I also felt like I was talking over it.
Oh, I said, let's go see what the guys are doing. Yeah. So Jeff is playing basketball alone, as Jeff does. I feel like Jeff does that a lot.
Yeah, he's playing basketball, and he's like hitting net after net or hoop after hoop, whatever. And little John Moody comes over, and he's like, hey, Jeff, what's going on? And he like he's sort of stretching, and he's like, bragging, like, oh, I'm about to come kick your ass. I'm going to be like, here I come after I'm done stretching, after I come stretching. And then, of course, he can't like score for the life of him.
Yeah.
And new Jeff, like Jeff, season two Jeff is like all about being shady in his interviews. And he's like, John's an athlete. You know, he ran track and threw javelin at an art college. In art college. Yeah, Super Bowl rings, professional athlete. With a very sad inner core.
So he's like, yeah, you know, I'm officially divorced now and I'm working on improving myself. And my best version, and I'm just working on being my best version, but everyone's like, are you all right, Jeff? Are you all right? And I just don't know why they're asking that. And then they cut to the clip of Justin last week, like, bro, my friends say they're okay, and I've known two people who have killed themselves. And he's like, oh my God, how did we go from, like, are you okay with your divorce to suicide? Like, can people just get off my ass?
Jeff is like, listen, bro. I'm okay. I got my ears pierced, and I'm of a certain age. Clearly, that means I'm okay.
Yeah. I'm wearing tight shirts now. I dyed my hair, and I'm possibly getting a new sports car. Nothing says I'm okay like that.
So even John says, like, listen, dude, like, no one's seen you grieve, so that's why we're concerned for you. So this is like, you know, like, even John Moody's picking up on this.
Yeah, and I like how he puts it. He's like, in order to get through this, you have to have gone through a breakdown stage. Like, everyone's insisting that everybody else has to be a mess on this show.
Yeah.
And he's like, the breakdown stage was the last 2 years of our marriage. It sucked. And then they showed a clip of Reagan when she's like, Jeff, why are you acting like that? Are you okay? I feel like you're about to fly into a blind rage. And he's like, I'm not.
But you are, Jeff. You are. Like, you're totally raging right now.
He's like, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are, Jeff. Jeff, you're going crazy. Jeff, why are you acting crazy? He's like, God damn it! Stop it!
He jumps out of the car and acts crazy.
Yeah.
She was such a gaslighter, that girl.
Ugh. That was such a crazy episode. He goes running off to, like, a gravel pit, you know? like an industrial gravel mine or something, or quarry. I don't know where he found it, but it was there.
Oh my God, guess who's calling me?
Who?
Scam Likely. The ever so famous Scam Likely.
Scam Likely. AKA like every Bravo entrepreneurial effort. Scam Likely. Sounds almost like Blake Lively, but it's called Scam Likely.
Yeah, that, they could do that for a new flipping show because they're trying to do all these design shows on Bravo, but like make a twist. Scam Likely flips houses.
So Jeff basically tells us, he's like, yeah, you know, Reagan was very controlling and I sacrificed a lot of my personality when I was with her. And then we see clips of Reagan like,
Jeff, walk over there. Jeff, walk over there now. Jeff, walk, put that down. Put that down, Jeff. Jeff, okay. Okay, roll over. Roll over.
Where are the arrow rings, Jeff? Like, seriously, I can't with you.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, when I told Reagan I wasn't happy, she left me. So there we go. And yeah.
And John's like, well, I just want you to know I'm there for you. And he's like, I know, you know, I know that Soma's there because it's not like I have any family. I'm like, oh my God, Jeff, you're not helping.
You know? John's like, just so you know, I'm always there for you. But if you try to call me on my cell phone, that's strictly for the ladies. So I guess I'm not really there for you. Bye.
I'm here for you right now. And then I'm gone. You're going to be alone again. All yeah. alone in the world. Are you sure you don't want to break down? You've got 5 more minutes of my time.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. God, I wish I did not find John Moody so attractive. He really is to me. He's so cute. So cute and so dumb. Anyway, so now it's like we get the montage thing where we see what everyone's doing around the city, you know? So Tamika and Barry are checking into a hotel because they're going to be having a staycation. And then Justin and Kelsey are at home with their quote-unquote fur baby, Rue. There, it looks like a... Is that a golden doodle? It's like an enormous poodle-type dog.
Oh, I don't know what kind of dog that is.
I think it's a poodle blend. So, you know.
I call it an I don't care.
Yeah, it's too big. And then we see Reese, who's the new boyfriend, soon to be fiance of Reagan.
Round Shep.
Round Shep, peeing in the corner of the stable. And then,
I mean, so gross. Like, you wait for the camera crew. This is the first time you've had the camera crew to yourself, and you're fucking pissing in the stable, dude. Come on.
Yeah, are there, like, not any bathrooms on your farm? Is that, like, are we just going to, like, be one with the animals?
Do the horses need that from you? You know what I mean?
Like, I mean,
you know how horse pee smells to us? It's disgusting. Imagine what Reese pee smells like to them.
This is why we have, this is why we had animal, what was it called? What was that book, that famous George Orwell book, Animal Farm? Not Animal House? No, not Animal House. Not Animal House. Animal
Everyone's
farm.
Equal, but some people are more equal than others.
Yeah, this guy Reese is the reason why that there was an uprising. These sources are like, you know what? We're taking over and we're creating a communist nation here in this barn.
Yeah, they're like, we are sick of the human peeing acid all over the floors and we're losing our hooves. So let's revolt.
Yeah, seriously. You know, it's funny. I mean, it is funny that Reese works on like on a farm because you know what it is? He's almost like the Chicken Run version of Shep. Right?
The Chicken Run version?
Like, if the people who made Chicken Run decided to make a version of Shep, that's what Reese would be. Right?
I feel like he's the Garfield version of Shep. Like, if Shep was playing Garfield in the school play. Like, if he was playing Garfield.
Garfield.
Yeah. Woody?
Yeah, he is, like...
And he's, like, day drinking on camera. He's just so gross. This guy is... And he's so charming, too, in his way. Like, the first week I saw him, I was like, oh, I can totally see what she's going for with this guy. Like, he's immature, but he's got, like, family money, I guess. And he seems to at least be kind of charming. But now I'm like, you're going to be 500 pounds in less than a year because you found a lady with a job to marry. And you're probably going to, like, squeeze her arm too hard. You know, or, like, be, like, slightly abusive. And then he whips it out in this episode. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not totally sold on him. Like, there are things about him that
anymore, I'm not. Now I'm like, you're a fucking lazy-ass Lifetime husband. It's like he's like the Lifetime husband who would murder you, but he's too lazy to chase you down the driveway with a knife.
Perfect Cameron Matheson role for him. So anyway, I compliment him too much by making him Cameron Matheson.
Yeah,
so,
really.
I know. It's more like, not Cameron Matheson, it's more like...
Garfield. Just Garfield. Say Garfield.
If Garfield is like, okay, new chapter, gonna finally do a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
So Kelsey goes, we land on Kelsey going to a coffee shop with Reagan, and they're sitting there, and Reagan says that, is telling Kelsey that Jeff came by before the opening of her boutique, and that like he was like all unsettled and threw her off, and she didn't really know how to like deal with it.
Yeah, he was unsettled. You brought him up. You brought him to meet somebody. He brings you champagne, and you won't touch it. Then your boyfriend's not even there, and he finds out that he has to meet the guy in front of everybody. And you're like, well, yeah, I thought it would be better if we did it in front of everybody. So, I don't feel uncomfortable. It's like, you're such a selfish asshole, Reagan. My God. So she's like, I don't know what he was acting so weird about.
I know. Typical Reagan.
Yeah.
So Kelsey's like, well, I generally care about all y'all. That's just my personality, which I think is funny when people do that. Like, I just can't help but being a very caring person.
Good person.
I'm trying to speak like her because she sort of has like a semi-marble mouth where she sort of swallows her words. And as a word swallower, I know one when I see one or hear, I know one when I hear one. She's like, I generally care about all of y'all. That's just my personality. And I don't know, like, I have this issue with Tamika, and I don't want to put you in the middle of it. It's, like, my issue, not yours. So, I was like, wow, that was really mature and not, like, a... Like, no reality star ever says, I have an issue with someone, and I'm not going to put you in the middle of it because it's my issue with her. I was like, you're on the wrong show, lady.
Yeah, but she's like, well, I don't want to invite her to my housewarming, though. She's going to be mean to me, Right. And so Reagan's like, well, the last few interactions I had with her were not pleasant. And instead of being warm and concerned and understanding, she was chewing me out. Like, it's all I could do to not kick her out of my house. So, have fun inviting her. So, you're in it anyway.
Yeah, Reagan is basically like...
For the last few years, I've been leaning on Tamika for emotional support. And, like, now that my life isn't falling apart, it's almost like I'm a stranger to her now. Because she's only, like, good for me when I'm, like, a disaster. So, and luckily, my life is perfect right now. It's totally perfect. It's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. My water broke. Can I have some more water?
Hi, I'd like to have a latte with everything fine in it. Thank you. Because everything is fine.
So Kelsey's like, do I have to invite her to my housewarming? What do I do? She doesn't even like me. Why would I invite her in my home? It's supposed to be a positive event. And Reagan's like, that's fair, but maybe, like, you're opening your home to make an effort, and that's just showing that you're not giving up. And if she's negative to you in your own home, then just get rid of her. Because, like, she's exhausting. I need a break.
Yeah. So we're seeing, like, again, early signs of falling out between the two of them. So now
they're always falling out. They're those kind of they're the friends that you can't take sides. They're that couple you don't take sides with because then you're like, oh yeah, Tamika is being a dick, and then she's like, oh my god, remember when we were fighting? Ronnie said you were a dick.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Fuck him. Don't invite him anywhere.
Yeah, you got to be careful with people like that. So now we go to Barry and Tamika, and they're at Restaurant Revolution, which I thought was like a very intense name for a restaurant. And they're basically having like a date night at their staycation, and it's like a nice scene. Basically, we learned that they got scammed at their wedding, so they have no wedding photos except for one. And Barry has to have...
Wow, her face looks totally different.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, she looks totally different.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
there you
go. She looks like this version of her looks like the Finding Nemo version of the original self.
Huh. Elaborate.
Fish face.
So
yeah, they're on a date, and they're basically.
I wasn't sure if she was like missing, like like she's looked like a clown, it. Like she had like orange stripes or something.
She's like not even in the picture. They're like, where's people. Tamika?
Just two giant sharks that are in like AA.
So they're having that episode where they're like, oh my god, we're totally different now because last year I was so stressed and I was so mean to Barry, but like now we're like totally great. Like everything is like totally amazing now. Like this is what I've been waiting for my entire marriage. So
yeah,
that's it.
Now that I'm not working in the mornings, we have a great relationship, and we worked hard for it, and now we're at Restaurant Revolution, and we're having a revolution of ourselves, of eating here and being happy and totally happy, and everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Not buying it.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Barry's butt.
Yeah, the next morning.
The next morning. Yeah, so we get some nice Barry butt. Nothing like some Zitty Roid Rage butt.
I liked it. I'm all about all the... There's some very hot men on this show, and I like that we get to see a lot of them.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of butt.
A lot of butt on the show.
I even liked Reese's little butt. Little pasty butt. I was even fine with that.
Listen,
I see my pasty butt every day. So I'm just very impressed with whatever they throw me. You know?
Yes. So, yeah, Barry is basically, like, naked, and he gets out of the shower, and then he's sitting with Tamika, and she's like, last year, I was wound so tight. I was like, and this year, you're what? Is this easy going, Tamika?
Yeah. She's like, oh, my God, the sight of Barry, the sound of Barry, the smell of Barry. I was like, ugh, Barry, I hate him. I want him to die. But now, like, we worked really hard to get here, and we're doing really well, so this is great.
It's great. So she has to go, she's upset because she has to go hang out with her cousin Jared. Because he wants Tamika to meet up with him and Kelsey, and Tamika's like, you know what? Like, this is the year of, like, Tamika 2.0, and, like, Tamika 2.0 wants to be nice to everyone, except for Kelsey.
I love that Tamika is going through the douchebag Bravo year of every douchebag on Bravo is trying to prove yes. that they've changed. And Tamika is the only woman who's on that train.
It's Carl, Jax. Someone else. Maybe
we have
Kyle.
To have that as an award this year. Like, most realistic 2.0 version of douchebag or something.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Most improved version or something.
So then we see John with a leopard sweater wrap going to the store to dress Jeff.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys, when I was a waiter, when people are like, hi, I'm Jocelyn. What's your name? Ronnie, you're going to be a great server. I can just feel it. You know, those people run your ass off. They're never nice. They act like they're nice. They're like, what's your name? And then they're like, Ronnie, from across the restaurant.
Right.
Ronnie, get over here. That's how John walks into this store. He's like, hello, what's your name? I'm John. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he's going to be a disaster. By the way, his that leopard thing that he's wearing... he describes, he goes, my look is relaxed artist.
If Lisa Rinna was watercoloring.
Yeah, exactly. So
they, you know, they're getting rid of his dad clothes. And he's like, yeah, when I met Reagan, she totally revamped my style. I was total lumberjack, bro.
Yeah, and then we saw some, like, images of his former style. I actually thought his Portland style or his Oregon style was better than his New Orleans style. I was like, that's more like he is a lumberjack. He's a Viking lumberjack, okay? He should be dressed like one.
So they're trying to find clothes to fit him, whatever. What are they talking about?
They're
so
just
basically he's just
clothes,
like, I'm gonna date again.
Puts on a red shirt, and basically Jeff is talking about how you know, they're talking about Reagan, and Jeff is like, well, you know, any girl that's going to be in my life has to respect Reagan. And John's like, so you're saying that Reagan's going to be in your life forever? Like, basically everyone's, like, trying to nudge these two apart from being friends. Like, you can't, like, you guys, this is not going to work. You guys have to start, like, separating and moving on because you guys are holding each other back. Like, even John picks up on this.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, tell me how you go up to a girl. And Jeff's like, okay, I do it like this. I'm not insane, and my name is Jeff. And he's like, no. You're not a Jeff. You are the Jeff. You say, this is a destination. And he's like, hey, I'm the Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't know where life is going to take you, but let's enjoy the ride together. I was like, oh, God, you've already hung out with John too long.
I know. I'd just be like, Super Bowl ring. Hello, Jeff. Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
So so now we go to Reese's family farm, which, by the way, I think is also important to show that he is, like, just working. He's working in the stables at his family's place. So so Reese's family farm, and Reese's, this is what Reese tells us. He's like, hey, Reagan's the girl of my dreams, and this is the person I'm supposed to be with. There hasn't been a moment in the past 10 years where I haven't had a regret about not making it work. I'm like... There hasn't been a moment where he hasn't had regret Never mind. I'm not even going to. There was something when I wrote that down. I wrote that down last night. And I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna get him about this." And then I was like, I read it and I was like, "Oh, he just said that he has regrets." Okay, fine, Reese, you win this one.
Well, he's just such like a slob. I love that they show him just with flies all over him. It's like the best way to introduce him because he was probably inside like, "Well, I guess I'm gonna have some breakfast." And they're like, "No, you should go out to the stables, possibly pee on something, and get covered in poop." And flies.
I feel like there also hasn't been a moment in the past 10 years where he hasn't regretted backing up his Limp Bizkit greatest hit CD onto his computer, because then he lost it, like, because he went out to like Bonnaroo and got drunk and left all his CDs on the lawn.
I just had the mind of a 22-year-old that took so much for granted. Reagan's like, "Hi, I'm Reagan. Hi, Jeff." He's like, "It's not
everything's fine. Everything's fine. You don't have to say that around me."
He's like, "I'm going to give you a stud show preview, all right? I got to get him a halt. Just make sure he doesn't go crazy." So he's got her in the stud pens. And so whenever he's in the stud pens, they think they're about to get laid, right?
Yeah.
Because he's going to breed them. So the horse is going crazy. It's like,
yeah. Oh, caca.
He's like, "Just stand here with this completely horny horse, and I'll be right back." Like,
I'm just going to get the thing for the thing, you know what I'm saying? So he goes out to, like, the backyard, and he starts, like, plopping flowers down all over. And so then, because he's going to propose. And then he goes back to Reagan, and he's like, "Oh, come here with me." So he leads her out to this area. But there's still this giant purple bucket right in the middle of the proposal area. He doesn't even get that out of the way. It's like,
yeah,
oh.
He could have used that to pee in. You know, like, everything I see around him, I'm like, you could have peed in that.
Yeah.
You know?
So he, like, leads her in, and he gets down on a knee, and he's like, "Babe, now that I got you here next to this purple bucket, there hasn't been 1 hour in the last 10 years that I haven't had some regret about not locking this up." I was like, wow. I mean, partial regrets, locking it down. Wow, what a romantic person.
Yeah. He's like, "We want the same things. A family, a life, will you marry me?" And you just hear the horse in the back, like, humping the wall. He's like,
So, like,
"Oh my
can
God,
I lock
Jeff,
you down?
Yes, this is amazing. We're getting married. Finally, Jeff asked me to marry him."
Reese asked him.
He's like, "I love you more than anything, and I can't wait to get really, really fat while you're at work."
Yeah. "I can't wait to use your family's inheritance, because I've been cut off from my family's. They only gave me this job cleaning out the stalls, and my siblings get all the other money."
Yep. So, pretty much. I feel like he's that guy in the family.
Yeah, I got this weird feeling.
"Were you really pissing in the stables on national TV, you idiot?"
Yeah, he is like literally, like, his all his, like, brothers and sisters are just, like, gorgeous, waspy Southern belles and man belles, but, like, he's just, like, the runt, and they're like, "All right, we'll put you in the stalls," and the rest of them are, like, you know, riding equestrian and winning awards for things.
Yeah. So then, Jared, speaking of classy jewelry... Jared, oh, he got the
classic jewelry. It took me a moment, but
I didn't mention that Reese was like, he asked the parents for permission, and so Reagan's mom gave the grandma's antique wedding ring, which I was like, poor Jeff.
Yeah, interesting that did not get passed to Jeff the proposal. Interesting,
and also interesting that Reese, of course, doesn't have to spend $1 on this.
Yes, also very interesting. So now Kelsey and Jared are, like, hanging out by, like, a ditch or something. It's like they're, like, by some water, but it's like shaggy grass. It looks like it's not manicured. It's, like, not nice, you know?
Well, you're in swamp area now, boys. No luck.
I know. There's, like, a bench. I mean, it's nice, but it's not, like, cute. So I'm just going to criticize their choice of film.
I love your swamp critiques.
No, just because, you know.
I know, it's just funny.
You know, like, there's sometimes when you're, like, walking by the water and it just feels so lovely, and sometimes you're like,
don't fall in that.
Like overgrown grass, and it feels like there's just, like, shit everywhere, you know?
Yeah, you're going, like, to get gatored in there.
What'd you say?
You're going to get gatored in there.
I know.
You know. Some of them just look scary. So Jared's there, and he's like, "Oh, hey, Kelsey, so how's everything going? How's the house?" She's like, "Still needs grass." And he's like, okay, where's Tamika? So I told you I was going to arrange something. And she's like, that's today. Thanks. Yeah. Like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, like, surprise.
You didn't warn me. Yeah.
So Tamika shows up and Jarrah's like, well, you guys have a lot to talk about. So bye. I was like, wait. Oh, you're just leaving that. Oh, okay. I thought that was really slippery that he brings them together and then he pieces out. No.
Yeah. So then Tamika comes and he's like, what? Tamika, there's Tamika. What do you want, a catwalk? Oh my God. You always enter the room like a model. You're amazing. She's like, I'm 6 feet tall. He's like, okay, bye. So, she's like, okay, look, I guess we have to talk, okay? Like, you know, like, there are reasons why. Like, I wanted to be good, like, and you were, like, off the wall. And, like, I wanted Reagan's thing to be good, and you were just acting like, off the wall. And I was like, where's this coming from? Like, she wasn't the total asshole.
Yeah, Kelsey being off the wall, she made, like, some jokes during cocktail banter. There's nothing about Kelsey that was off the wall.
Yeah, and Kelsey's like, look, my only thing is I just don't want to be disrespected, and I'm blatantly disrespected all the time. And she's like, well, like, I know you feel like I don't like you, like, and I know you felt like that for a long time. She goes, yeah, since we've met. Like, I've always felt like you didn't care.
And she goes, like, I probably didn't. It's like, okay, good job.
Kelsey goes, who says that to people?
Yeah. Because when Kelsey said, you know, I just don't want to be disrespected, and Tamika goes, I don't want you to feel disrespected, even though everything that Tamika says to Kelsey is, like, to disrespect her, either overtly or not. So
okay, I do like you, but I don't want you to think that
I actually do like you. It's like, I actually do. Like, surprise, yeah. Most people would think I wouldn't like you because you're just a generally horrific person, but guess what? I actually do like you. You're, like, sort of humanity's best kept secret.
Yeah, but just because I said that, like, I like you, like, I don't want you to think, like, it's this love affair with Kelsey, okay? Because, like, that's not gonna happen. Like, it's not gonna be, like, this love affair, okay?
Kelsey's like, great, I wasn't looking for a love affair, I was just wondering why you are such a heinous bitch to me.
Yeah, and then Tamika kind of explains herself to us, like, at least I understood it more, because she's like, oh my God, she wants it so bad. Like, she just wants it so bad. She thinks if she's in good with Tamika, then she's good with Justin. So, it's like, she is good with Justin. Tamika.
Yeah, she is. But that explains, you know, Barry said last week or 2 weeks ago that Tamika really only respects people who are strong and, like, sort of clap back. And I think that she sees in Kelsey someone who is, like, weak and has to go through this sort of social maneuvering in order to, like, be good with Justin. I think that she probably sees that as weakness. I mean, either way, I think it's kind of all a little bit of bullshit. But at its core, it sounds like she just thinks that Kelsey is like insecure.
She's trying to come into her cool friends group is what it seems like.
Yeah,
to me.
Like not a...
She's got really cool friends, and Chelsea's just trying to make herself a part
try
of
hard.
It.
Like Sheena. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelsey goes, well, I would like to extend an olive branch and invite you to the housewarming. I was like, that's nice. But you're not the one who's supposed to be extending the olive branch. Tamika's the olive branch holder, supposed to be.
Yeah. She's like, well, I withheld my invitation because I wanted to talk to you first, which wouldn't happen anyway, because of course Justin's going to invite her. I mean, yeah. Come on. And she's like, I just don't want anything to happen at the party. And Tamika's like, well, I love Justin, so I won't start shit. I mean, you're fine. You're fine. You're a great couple. You guys are fine. Okay, you're fine. Can I go now?
So now we then go to a coffee shop where Bravo has decided to recreate that seminal episode of The Simpsons where Lisa Simpson tells Ralphie that she does not want to be his Valentine after he gave her the I choose you card.
Oh my God, awkward.
Right? And at first I actually thought this scene was like a recreation of something that happened off camera. But then as it unfolded, I was like, no, this is really happening. Yeah. So basically, Reagan is at the coffee shop and Jeff comes to meet and she's like,
I ordered you a black iced coffee.
And he's like, you know me too well. And her face is just like,
ugh. You're from Portland. You don't do color, Jeff.
So he's like, well, I saw that you pulled Reese to the side. So that said, it was great. He said, Jeff is great. He's like, yeah, I got
coffee. Drink it. Okay. So I brought you here today. Reese wants me to marry him.
And she says it with this huge smile on her face.
Yeah. Like I'm going to just sell this. You're going to sell it. And Jeff is like, what? And he's like trying to like smile, be like, that's amazing. But he's also like, what the fuck? Like, you just met this guy. And then he's thinking like, how long has she really known him? And then he's probably thinking like, was she seeing him while she was at that study cabin. Like, you could see, like, all these things were going through his head. And he's, like, trying to think, like, oh, my God, what are people going to say about me? He's just, like, he wants to, like, cry and scream, but at the same time try to, like, be nice. And it was so riveting watching all these emotions. Oh, my God.
It was so awkward. It was, like, 3 full minutes of him just going, and her with that fucking Joker smile just staring at him.
Yeah, and he's, like... It's funny because I think the reason why I thought it was a fake, like a recreation, was because I was like, this feels like it's being acted out. But I realized it's not that it felt like it was being acted out. It's just that he had to utter out such fake happiness at that moment and he couldn't do it, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah. He's like, is this a part where I'm supposed to break down and cry? Because I might be able to do it. But then she's just staring at him with that fucking smile on her face.
And he goes, he starts almost a Shannon Medora, like, I'm happy. He's like, I'm happy. Wait, what did you say, by the way? Did you say yes? Or she's like, yes, I said yes. Oh, I'm happy.
She just keeps going, You good, Jeff? Oh, so awkward.
So then he goes, no, it's actually a relief. It's a relief because I was worried. It's a relief. I'll just say it's a relief. I don't know why. It's just a relief.
You know, so like, you really feel relieved? And he goes, yeah, like, if I wanted you back, I would have come back for you.
Which was great. It was, like, out of nowhere. Like, ba-boom! And her face is like, huh.
And he's like, well, that's a mistake. Like, she moves so fast. Instead of moving forward, she's just going back, you know? Which is true. It's like, she's going from one to the other, and then she'll be back to Jeff eventually.
Well,
this guy's gonna, you know, do something horrible. We already see him looking horrible, like, in 2 scenes from now. And he's going to do something terrible, and she's going to be right back to Jeff. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe we didn't work it out. And instead, I went back.
Well, but did she really move backwards? Because that implies that Reese was ever out of the picture. But it sounds like she always loved Reese. He wasn't ready to get married, so she moved on to a football player, probably to make Reese jealous. And, in fact, when things almost fell apart with Jeff... She went back to Reese, and then he was a sloppy mess, so then she went and got engaged to Jeff the very next day, probably again, ultimately, as revenge towards Reese, and then she's in this marriage that was, like, nice, but ultimately had no legs, and then it seems like maybe she was cheating in the last year or so with that downtown study cabin. So, yeah, was he really ever gone? Was it really ever a backwards move or just sideways. A lateral? Sideways.
Yeah, sideways. Lateral. Well, that works.
Glad I got to the bottom of that.
So then Justin and Kelsey are trying on things for Halloween, and they're kind of boring. Okay, yeah, so then Regan and Reese.
Filler scene.
Yeah, let's go to them.
Regan and Reese. So Regan comes home from her coffee, and she tells Reese that she just told Jeff. And he's like, how do you take it? He's awesome, right? Can I get his autograph still, or no? Can I? No? Okay. And he's like, oh, well, he took it well. And then she says he took it well, and we have a flashback of Jeff with his head in his hands, like,
It's like, yeah, it was closer. And he's like, well, that's great, but the last few weeks has been consumed with meeting Jeff, and now you're my fiancé, and so it's, like, time for the next chapter. And look, I've been patient, and, like, well, this divorce was postponed, and this didn't stop me from pursuing you. Like, this hasn't been easy, okay? It's been a year. Like, your brother got married, and I couldn't even go. Like, what is this? Like, people are even starting to ask me, and like, he turns into this fucking asshole. Hey, you know what? If you don't want someone who's going through divorce, stop fucking married people, you prick.
Yes, thank you.
Fuck you, dude.
Fuck you, dude. No, once he locks it down, then the real guy comes out.
The
you know,
he gets some girl pregnant and a wedding ring or wedding ring on her finger. He's like all controlling.
We've seen Sleeping with the Enemy. We know what happens. Enjoy arranging your cans of tuna. So anyway,
and if he's that blatantly like rude and abusive on TV, shit, good luck with that. Don't marry that fucker.
And then Reagan's like, you must be stressed from work. He's like, yeah, I don't just sell jewelry, okay? I'm dealing with real grown-ass animals that go out and make a paycheck and support a farm. Like, you're sticking your ass up a horse's, I mean, your hand up a horse's ass.
You piss on the ground while you're day drinking, you piece of shit. Yeah. Like, fuck you. And then he's sitting there acting like he's on his laptop doing actual work. I'm like, oh, yeah. Really?
What yeah, enjoy thing? that Minesweeper. Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, wow, you hit a bomb again.
Yeah, whatever, Pornhub. Fuck this guy. What a prick.
I know. So now it's Halloween, and Reagan and Reese are dressing up as Cleopatra and Mark Antony. And so they're all going to, I guess, go to a haunted house or something. Because all of a sudden we meet this woman named Rose, who's a haunted house guy. Who's like, we are not just going to a haunted house. We are going to the most haunted house in New Orleans. In fact, perhaps the most haunted house in all of America. If not the world. They're like, okay, Rose, let's settle down.
Yeah, calm down, Rose. You're making minimum wage, okay? Save it.
I know. Like, I feel like maybe... that Juilliard training is coming in too well. Just relax.
Yeah, and Reagan's like, are you ready? And Reese is like, sorry I gave you a hard time, babe, yesterday. And she's like, no, that's okay. I just wanted to tell Jeff first instead of hearing it from Barry and Tamika. I was like, okay, way to sweep that one under the rug.
Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah,
everything's fine. Everything's fine. Oh my God, you should have a t-shirt. So then Barry and Tamika show up as a voodoo king and queen. Everybody shows up dressed.
Yeah.
You know, and John is Richard Simmons.
Yeah, sort of. Like, and then he's like, I think Jeff, was it? No, it was Justin who's like, he's like Little Richard Simmons. Little Richard and Richard Simmons. He's like Little Richard Simmons. He's like cracking himself
shut
up.
Shut your mouth.
And I love that John, not John, Jeff showed up as a gladiator, which is like perfect because since Reese and Reagan were dressed in like also Greco-Roman style, that Jeff was like, that's nice that you're Mark Antony. I am like 8 feet tall and built like a wall of bricks, and I will destroy you one of these days. You won't know when it happens, but it will happen.
Yeah. So Reagan's like, okay, everybody, now that we're all here, I'm so glad that we're celebrating Halloween together. We just got engaged.
This is what it sounds. This is what everyone's reaction was. Ouch. Rose is like, is now a good time for me to talk about the most haunted house in America?
Shut up, Rose.
Rose, this is not your moment.
And even Rose doesn't say congratulations.
Yeah, even they're Rose. Like, even Rose. On the machine, Rose. On the machine.
And Tamika's like, I just said let's move on and don't keep secrets. And then she announces she's getting married in a group setting and I know nothing about it. Like, I thought I'm supposed to be her best friend. I am done. I am done. I am done.
And then they all start doing like a reluctant like golf clap, like it's like when you see a really bad street performance, but you feel like, well, he was trying to play the guitar.
Yeah, he's not getting my dollar, but I can't really spit on him either, you know. And Reagan's like, well, I told Jeff first, so let's eat, drink, and be scary.
Also, what a strange way to announce the engagement. Like, oh, before we go on a haunted tour while we're standing here in an alley, we're engaged. So,
yeah. Awkward. So that was super fun.
It was. So
now
good.
Let's just talk over Real Housewives of Potomac a little bit, shall we?
Yeah. So the overall arc of this is that Monique had her rainbow party, which is like to celebrate the new pregnancy after the miscarriage that she went through. So there's a lot of talk about that, like very serious and like very actually really lovely and emotional. And Ashley talks about it, and we see Michael. You know, we make fun of Michael all the time, but like actually he was very emotional about you know their miscarriage, which I thought was moving. But also that the thing that went along with that was that this is the first time that Monique's mother-in-law has come face to face with Monique in like 2 years.
Yeah. So she was finally let back in the house. This is the first time she's even been to this house. So she came and, you know, she was shady as ever. She's really funny, I think.
Yeah.
But she's standing there talking to Ashley and, she's like, oh, I smell your husband. And she goes, what do you mean? Like, you smell his cologne or his drink? And she goes, I will not drink, you know. Just fill me with the music of the Lord. That's all I need.
She goes, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink anything. I'm not an alcoholic. So
Monique gives a speech about, like, you know, how sad it was to have a miscarriage. But, you know, this is she explained what a rainbow baby is. And she's like, and, you know, if anybody else would like to speak, now would be a good time, which is such an awkward thing to do at a brunch. Like, anyone else want to talk about their miscarriage?
I also think it's like the worst thing you could ever do at a party is, like, when you make your speech, when it's done, you ask for, does anyone else want to say something? Because guess what? People are assholes, and they like to get on that microphone, and then what happens is people don't shut up, and they say the same thing over and over again. Have you ever been to a wedding where that happens? Like, does anyone else want to say anything about the couple? And then everyone says, I remember the first time. I was like, these two are meant for each other. And it's just, people just want to be like, get credit for like being part of the emotional journey. I'm like, don't ever open up the microphone.
Oh, then, I've been that person. Trust me. I'm like, hey, there's a microphone. Hand it over.
Me too.
I met him. It was springtime. It was dark outside. Like, I'd go on like a whole speech. Ashley, well, no one said they're going to speak because, like, who's going to speak? You know, it's like a weird thing to speak on. So then Ashley's like, I'll do it. But Michael's inside getting, probably trying to get laid, let's be honest. So he's inside and Ashley gives a speech and it's actually nice.
Yeah.
But Candace and Karen was giving some attitude too. In her diary room thing, she's not. She's like, well, I know that that's really painful for them, so I'm not going to go after them for that. But when everyone was clapping after her speech, Karen just went, and then look down at her napkin.
So Chris's mom also made a speech, and she basically was like, I want to put the past behind us, and no, I owe Monique an apology, and I love her. We're all going to be together. So there was, like, finally an apology moment. And then there was also an awkward releasing of doves, which, you know, I felt bad for those birds just being stuck in there. They're like, get me the hell out of here. So then Candace and Chris arrive, and they arrive after all the speeches, which I'm like, you know, that's kind of tacky. I mean, this is like it's a happy party, but it's also like you want to be there for those speeches. You really want to support in those moments. And Monica's like, I highly doubt Chris is the reason they're late. Just because he has a brown penis doesn't mean he's on CPT.
I love Monique just sitting there and cracking jokes this whole season.
Yeah, me too. So, actually, Candace was there for Ashley's story, though, so I should say that.
Yeah, she wasn't there for the first speech, but she was there for, like, the sit-down dinner speech or whatever, the sit-down lunch speech.
So then Ashley pulls Karen aside, and she's like, you know, you and I have had a rocky past, and Karen goes, very rocky!
Well, I mean, I would call it more pebbly.
She's like, oh, no, rocky. Security!
Security, it's a rocky road Rocky's over here. I don't have the right tires for this rocky road right here. Can we get some tires here? I want to have a good year, and I mean that both by tires and my life.
Well, I think we should do a nice activity that's just us to maybe bond.
And she's like, just us. I don't know. I'm hopeful. But there's pain there, Ashley. There's pain. And I'm not phony. I love what you're giving it. I love that you're being open. You're open, I'm open. Now, here's Karen's trouble. She will always try to meet these ladies where they want to meet. She'll always make up with Giselle when Giselle's like, Karen, for real this time, let's be friends. And then Giselle will fuck her over in the next 5 minutes, you know?
But you know what, though? I'd rather that, because sometimes I can't stand when it's like an ongoing feud that just is like, I hate like a season-long stalemate. I love a season-long build-up to, like, a falling out, like Bethany and Carol, or, you know, there are other ones. You know, Kyle and Lisa. I love the build-up to it. But then after the feud happens, like, after, like, the fallout happens, ugh, watching, like, a season-long standoff, like, on Orange County, which happened for, like, 2 years with Vicky, it gets old. So I'm happy that Karen's like, well,
I just mean that Karen always gets fucked over. Because she'll always forgive everybody, but then it's, like, the next second. Because we see in the previews for the upcoming, for the rest of the season, which is amazing.
Amazing. Amazing.
We see, you know, that Ashley immediately turns on her.
But you know, the thing is, though, with Karen, I think that she actually likes getting fucked over. So that way she can have it as something to hold over people.
Yeah, well, that's true, probably. So then they decide they're going to go do some bonding day or something. And then we meet Giselle, or we've met Giselle's mom before, but Giselle's mom comes for a visit.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, I miss you sometimes. And sometimes I think a separation is good. Because you're awful, Giselle.
Pretty much. So Giselle tells her that she's now ready to buy a house, and it's going to most likely be this investment property that looks like a shack on a large piece of land. And the mom's like, oh, Jesus.
Like, Giselle, do you not watch your own show? First of all, you're stealing Robin's storyline. And second of all, it's a terrible storyline to steal. I mean, have you seen what's going on with Robin?
Yeah, and you've just gotten a good couch. Like, you've got one good couch after 3 years, or after 4 years. Okay. Yeah. Like,
focus on every hue, steps. Beauties. Focus yeah. on every hue.
So. Turnkey. You're looking for turnkey. So she's like, yeah, I just got, you know, look, I got this. If Robin can do it, I mean, Robin rehabbed a house, and she's totally fine. Cut to Robin. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Robin's shitty flip. Probably the worst flip we've ever seen on reality TV. You know, reality TV, reality TV loves a happy ending when it comes to flips, okay? Like, there's, HGTV is dedicated to it. You watch them take the shittiest house, and they turn into something very nice and fun, and flipping out, anything. You just see all these flips, and it's always happy. But with Robbins, it was like, this is shitty to start with, and I think it's going to be shitty to end with. I don't think this has a good trajectory right now.
No, they're putting trim on the wrong parts of the wall. I mean, it's just not good. She forgot to get 2 cabinets.
I mean, she was naive to think that she could do it all in 4 months anyway. Do you remember? I mean, when she first walked in there, it was like there was no floor. There was asbestos, like, it looked like it was snowing full of asbestos, you know, in my mind. It was,
but
just,
you can do it.
Everywhere.
I mean, I did that with my dad. My dad did that growing up. And you can do it fast, but you have to do it fast. Like,
but I feel like you have to know what you're doing also.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, I guess you have to know how to schedule it out or whatever, because it's like, what, 9 months? How long has it been?
It's been 10 months. And yikes. Robin's like, she's like also excited about it because she's hoping it's going to like enhance her relationship with Juan, because she's excited to see what's going to happen once Juan sees that she can prove her success, which I'm like,
that's sad.
This is sad.
Yeah, that made me really sad for her. And I'm usually not sad for Robin, but she's been fairly nice this season. And it makes me sad that she said that. I was like, ugh. So then basically she's like, well, we're going to put on some doorknobs ourselves to save some time. This screw gun doesn't work. And then the editors added like another $20 to the budget. It's like,
yeah.
Ding!
Oh, God. Well, you know, it's like a pancake. The first one's not going to be good. But keep going, Robin. So then we see... Monique, we have a scene with Monique with Chris and Shirley, the mother-in-law, and they just sort of talk more about like Shirley taking jabs all the time. She's like, I don't do that. I just have the mindset that, like, you know, I'm the mama, and Chris, you should say that's my mama. My mama can say whatever she wants to say.
Yeah, and they're like, no, that's not how it works. No. I was like, so that apology meant nothing.
Exactly, that's exactly what that was. She's like, I'll apologize to all the people in public, but in private, you're still a heifer.
Yeah, and I like that Monique's not just sitting there taking it, but she's also not going to make a huge drama. She's like, no, ma'am, no. Let's move forward. Yeah. So then Ashley and Michael go to get some
acupuncture
to make, you know, get those eggs. She's like, oh, yeah, I feel it in my eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Giselle and Candace meet up to gossip.
Yeah, this is like the main gossip scene of the episode.
I'm so jealous that Candace can eat like this and look like that. Because usually on these shows, people are like, I will have arugula with half of a grilled salmon, please. And she's like, I'll have that short rib mac and cheese, please. And she says it like this. I'll just have the short rib mac and cheese.
I'll just have the full slab of ribs with mac and cheese and some greens. Thank you. Just that. So Giselle's saying, Giselle actually gets to Chris's restaurant first. And she's talking about how she views Candace as a little sister, which is funny because last season they hated each other and it was like Giselle was almost not even going to get invited to the wedding. And now all of a sudden Candace is a little sister. I'm like, wait, when did this shift happen, really?
I don't even know. Giselle's so wishy-washy with that stuff.
Yeah.
Giselle just, it's like, she's like, okay, I can't shoot with Karen. Robin's too far to shoot with. Ashley's a monster. So I guess I'll just shoot with her today, you know?
Yeah. So Candace joins, and we also learned that Chris is coming out with a cookbook. I was like, huh? Isn't Chris, he's not even the cook.
No, he's like a manager.
it's like how to pour soda.
What I always wanted to know from my managers, what they cook at home.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
So then Candace immediately, she's like, oh, you know, the party was nice. The rainbow party was nice. And that's great. But then Ashley, he takes the mic and starts giving this fucking speech. And no tears, but she starts doing this whole like, oh. I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with this girl?
Yeah. Are you talking about Candace?
What is wrong with Candace? Who says that? Oh my God.
I know.
God.
I was like, Candace, this is not going to end well for you.
That's
okay?
coming from me. Oh my
I know.
God.
Because Candace still doesn't think that Ashley is trying to get pregnant. I'm like, I think let's not, Candace, this is a losing battle for you. And on top of that, Candace is like, because let's not forget that her husband's going around talking that he wants to suck other men's dicks. And I'm not going to say it. For now, I was like, oh, okay, so now she's gonna now she's inching closer to stirring that pot.
Yeah, so much mess.
And then she also stirs the pot because she's talking about in New Orleans how Monique was making fun of Katie and how Monique compared Katie to Amistad, and right. and Giselle's like, oh, and you laughed at that, and Candace's like, no, I did not laugh at that, and a flashback of Candace like.
Like, also, literally slapping her knees laughing.
Also, Candace made it sound way worse than it was. Candace made it sound like Monique was saying, she looks like Amistad, like a slave on a ship. Which is not the vibe that Monique was saying.
No, she was just trying to make a joke, you know?
Yeah.
So then
after that, so now Giselle's all mad about that. Like, that is so rude. And Candace's like, I should have just shut up. I shouldn't have said anything. Yeah. Which is hilarious because that's what Giselle did. Giselle said after she stirred the pot and got Candace in trouble.
Yep. But at least they're going to bring some mess. We need it so far, I think, this season. It's time for some mess. And it looks like it all pays off in that preview.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then Ashley and Karen go to a pink Himalayan sea salt healing room with Terry the healer. And Terry's like, I'm a hugger. Yeah. I'm a hugger. I was like, uh-oh, leave. Run.
For me, my favorite part of the scene was Karen walking into the shop, walking through the door, and she nearly knocks the bell off the door, and she's like, "Ah! Security, this bell tried to attack me. Ah!
Ah! Oh, so Ashley's like, my healer said that people don't breathe when they hug, and you're supposed to hug like this. And she hugs Terry, and they both breathe in and then exhale. And Karen's just looking at her like, oh God. She tells us, I need you to let me go now.
Security. I feel like I'm trapped. So Terry takes him into this cave, the salt cave. And she's like, yes, breathing in the Himalayan sea salt is going to help you release all the negative stuff because the sea salt is made of negative ions. I was like, I don't know if that's how science works, but okay, I'll go with it. Just because you pair the word negative and negative doesn't mean it's going to do this, but okay. Okay, Terry.
She's like, the diaphragm is where people shove energy. Gosh, you have a lot of stuff there, Karen. She's like, well, I haven't pooped yet today. Constipation is part of my grief.
So Terry starts, and, you know, I mean, Terry knows exactly how to, like, put people down the path of crying. So first she goes, okay, Karen, you can't be this strong forever. It will only wear you down. And Karen's, like, not buying it. She's like, I don't think so. Security, I can't be this strong. Get her out of here.
It's like, I am this strong. I don't need you, lady. I am this strong. That's how I'm built. I don't need anybody or anything. It's like, I'm talking to your dad right now. It's like,
yeah, she just says dad. It takes a lot of strength to keep a fax machine industry still going.
So she talks about, you know, she is strong, but she's still just grieving and, you know, all of that.
And then
when Terry leaves, she goes, oh, wow. I just nailed that one. Fucking Terry. So then Karen and Ashley are left to talk alone, and Ashley's like, now that you've expressed your grief, I will express mine too. I am sad, and my husband's so old. What if he dies once we have a kid? And she's like, listen, I'm married to an old fart too. You have a kid and it reinvigorates him. It's like putting a battery in him, girl.
Yeah, and they bond, and I mean, it's actually like a very nice scene, but it's, you know, I also kept thinking, like, they're, like, in a suburban strip mall, like, in a room made of salt. This feels in the middle of, like, Maryland.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of that. Until next week. That preview really did get me excited,
yeah,
though.
That girl. You know what I loved about that preview for coming up this season was that there was, like, a lot of fighting, and it looked like real fights, and it was, like, multiple scenes. Because sometimes they'll be, like, coming up this season, and they'll make it look like there's, like, 10 fights, but you notice they're all in the same clothing, so it's, like, one big fight that they chop up to make it seem like it's episode after episode, if it's only one episode. But this one was, like, this one looked like legitimate, like, chaos. So I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, I love this show. I really do. Even when it's like a slow episode, I'm still enjoying it, but I'm excited for it to pick up a little bit.
Yeah, it was a pretty good Sunday night of TV, all in all.
It was!
And tomorrow we will be doing
Below Deck
on video. So if you guys want to come do our live streams with us, come to Crappins On Demand over at our Patreon page. And you can also watch these videos after we do them. We're doing it at noon Pacific time. So if you can't make that, just go watch the videos on Crappins On Demand.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can chat about all this stuff and whatever you really want to chat about on our Discord channel. We're really excited about that. So go join there.
Yeah, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.